Feel like you're blessed? From the time in the summer of 1973, when the Lord spoke peace to my soul, from that point on, if I never received anything else from His gracious hands, I would have enough to thank Him for all eternity. But God just continues to bless our lives. And James well said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from God. And I'm thankful for His goodness and His mercy towards us. And I'm thankful for the privilege that He's given us to be here in His house again today. I want to ask for your prayers as I stand before you this morning. And if you would like to read with me today in my scripture reading, then I'm going to ask you to turn to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I want to read some verses there concerning the account of Jesus when He was before Pilate. So, from John chapter 18, I want to begin reading with verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I'd like to stop reading there with verse 38. I want to speak today about the precedence of truth. And the word precedence has several different dictionary definitions. One of the things that it means is that it is defined as being superior in rank. So I want today, as we think about this, the precedence or the superiority of the truth. The truth is something that is of great importance. It was of great importance to the Lord. He speaks about that to us in the response, in His answer, the way that He answered Pilate when he told him what it was that he had came into the world for. To this end, Jesus said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. And as we stop and pause there for just a moment, I want you to think about all of the things that Jesus could have said about himself. The different things that he came and he accomplished while he was here. Think about as he was answering that question there. Think about all of the different things that he could have said. But yet he told Pilate, it was to this end that I was born, and it was for this cause that I came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And I want us to go through this conversation here that was going on between Pilate and the Lord Jesus and take a look at some of the things that were said. And I want to tell you what I believe that Jesus was trying to get across to Pilate when he made that statement, when he told him that it was for that reason that he came into the world. Pilate had asked him, and if you go back into verse 33, Pilate had asked Jesus if he was a king. And the first thing that Jesus wanted to know, and as he began the answer to Pilate's question, the first thing that he wanted Pilate to tell him was, well, Pilate, are you asking me this because of your thoughts, or are you asking me this because somebody else told you about it, or somebody you heard somebody else talk about it? And so Pilate's response to that, well, was, well, you know, am I a Jew? It's your own people that have delivered you. And that was, I believe, Pilate's way of answering the Lord's question as to where he had come up with this idea and why he had asked this question. But then I really want to begin with verse 36. Well, first of all, when Pilate had asked Jesus there if he was a king, I believe that Jesus did answer him in the affirmative. I know the language is a little bit hard, the way that it was written is a little bit hard to understand, but I believe when Jesus told Pilate, you say that I'm a king, was the same thing as saying, yes, yes, I am a king. I think he was just saying to Pilate, when Jesus said to Pilate, thou sayest that I am a king, I believe he was telling Pilate, you have spoken right. You have spoken true in saying that I am a king. Yes, I don't believe that Jesus was denying the fact that he was a king. But I believe that he wanted to clarify to Pilate what kind of king that he was. Because these people had the wrong idea about Jesus. They had the wrong idea of what the Messiah was coming to do. They were expecting someone much different than the Lord Jesus Christ. They were expecting, the Jews especially, they were expecting a whole different type of king than the one that came. And so when Jesus answered Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. Pilate had already asked him, and keep that in mind, Pilate had already put the question before him, are you a king? And Jesus said to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But my kingdom is not from hence. My kingdom is not from here. My kingdom is not of this realm, of this world. And he goes on in the next verse, and he said that to Pilate, you say that I am a king. And that's when he told him, it was to this end that I was born. And it was for this cause that I came into the world. And what I believe that Jesus was trying to establish in the mind of Pilate, that yes, he was a king, that yes, he had a kingdom, that his kingdom, that the reason that his servants did not fight was that because his kingdom was not a kingdom of power, or it was not a kingdom of force, but it was a spiritual kingdom. I believe that Jesus wanted Pilate to know, yes, I am a king, but not the kind of king that you think I am. Not the kind of king that the people are trying to make me out to be, because, you know, the Jews, at the very first mention of Jesus as a king, the Jews had the thought that he was all about overthrowing the Caesars. And that wasn't what he was about. He was about establishing a spiritual kingdom. And so I believe that he was trying to make it known to Pilate, yes, I am a king. Yes, I have a kingdom, but my kingdom will not be based upon military power. My kingdom will not be based upon force. It won't be based upon fighting. My kingdom will be all about bearing witness to the truth. And it was that important to Jesus that that was what his kingdom was established upon, and that's what his kingship was established upon, and it was for that end that he was born there in Bethlehem, and for that cause that he came into the world to bring to us the truth. Jesus, if you think also in John chapter 14, verse 6, I believe it is, when you think about all of the different things that Jesus could have said about himself, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you've got the truth crouched right in between those things. And I believe if you take them all and put them all together, that what Jesus was telling us is, I am the true way that leads to life. And that's what he is. Jesus is the truth. And he is the way that leads to everlasting life. Now, we hear Solomon, and Brother Wheat in Sunday school this morning quoted some things that Solomon said. Of course, we know that Solomon was a man that God had given wisdom to. God had blessed with great wisdom. And we hear Solomon in Proverbs 23, verse 23, he was talking about the truth, and Solomon said to buy it and don't sell it. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. In other words, you get a hold of the truth. You grab onto the truth and don't you let it go for anybody or for anything. Well, let's look at another verse. I believe perhaps we'll explain it even better in Proverbs 3 and 3. He said, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. You get a hold of the truth, I believe, is what these two proverbs are teaching us. You get a hold of the truth, you wrap it around you, and you embrace the truth, and don't you let go of the truth for anything. When we think about the superiority of the truth or the precedence of the truth, I want to tell you today that there are things that the truth far outranks. The truth is more important than you and I. It's far more important than you and I. The truth is more important than our pleasure or our happiness. The truth is more important than any friendship. I mean, upholding and maintaining the truth is more important than any earthly relationship could ever be. Jesus taught us that, and we'll get into that perhaps here in a little while. But I want to make this statement, and I certainly want to explain what I mean in this, because I believe the Bible plainly teaches us this. You know, we are told that Jesus loved his church and gave himself for it. And we know the great love that Jesus has for the church. And we know that around the world today that there are many local bodies just like this one here. And I promise you today that the Lord Jesus Christ has a great love for Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church. I promise you that he does, and I believe you already know that he does. And there are many little local bodies around the world just like this that the Lord looks at and views as being his church, and he has a great love for them. But I'll tell you what, there is no church that is as important as the truth. And I believe that Jesus holds the truth in higher regard even than he does his church. And I'll tell you why I believe that. You look in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, you read about the seven churches there in Asia Minor, and it will tell you very readily what Jesus will do and how Jesus will treat and how he will react to any church that departs the truth. You leave the truth behind and Jesus, or you forsake the truth rather, and Jesus will leave that body. He will. He will not stay where the truth is not upheld. If we want the blessings of God upon us, if we want God to be with us, if we want to continue, if we want to have that candlestick, if we want to maintain that authority, if we want the Spirit of God to be with us and bless us, then we have got to buy the truth and sell it not. We have got to hang on to the truth. We have got to maintain the truth despite what anybody says, despite how that we are attacked, despite everything in the world. Friend, listen, if you ever let go of the truth, your church is gone. It's gone. Jesus loved the truth. There's power in the truth, isn't there? What do we read in the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John? You know, I love this church, and I know that you folks love this church, but there's no salvation in this church, is there? There's no salvation in it. We were sent to tell the story. We were sent to preach the gospel. We were left in the world to promote the truth. We were left here to tell people what it is that they must do in order to be saved. But salvation is of the Lord and not in the church. And listen today, sometimes I'm afraid that we get falsely accused. I have never tried to teach anybody in my life. We get accused of this, but I have never taught anybody that they had to be a missionary Baptist to be saved. I haven't taught it because I don't believe it. The salvation of the soul does not come through the church, but you think about the great power of the truth. Friend, the church won't set you free. The Bible doesn't teach us that the church will set you free, but we find in the eighth chapter of John that Jesus did say, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There is power in the truth. I'll tell you what, if you ever have to make the decision, If anybody ever faces, whether it be on an individual basis or whether it be on a church, the basis of a church, whatever that the situation may be, if you ever are faced with the decision of whether to hold on to the truth or whether to keep somebody happy, I'll tell you what, if you ever forsake the truth in order to for it to be about somebody's happiness or somebody's pleasure, I want you to know that that price is too high to pay. It's too high to pay. If you ever feel like that you have to lay aside the things that you believe in, the truth that you stand for, in order to maintain a friendship with somebody, I promise you that that price is too high to pay. I thought about this when I studied. I thought about even as much as I love my own wife. I gave a lot of thought to what God has called me to do. And nothing like this has ever threatened my home, and I pray to God that it never does. But I thought, even with my own wife, as much as I love her, that if she were to ever say, "You're going to have to just lay down the truth and stuff that you preach if you want me to stay," if I could do what was right, I'd have to say, "Well, I'll really miss you." I mean, there is no relationship as important as the truth. I'm afraid sometimes that people have let it go in order to maintain a friendship, in order to maintain any kind of relationship. I'm afraid sometimes that people have let the truth go, have laid it aside in order to keep the peace. I love when the church is in unity. Isn't it wonderful when the church is in unity? Isn't it wonderful when there is peace and harmony among us? Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. But listen, if that unity is not based upon the truth, then we don't really have it, do we? I mean, if we ever have to are faced with laying aside the truth to keep people happy and to keep peace, that's too high of a price to pay. Amen. The church must maintain the truth of God's word. I don't believe that you can stand for the truth. I've never seen this pattern. I've not seen it in the Bible. I've not seen it throughout history. I don't believe that a person or a group of people can truly stand for the truth and keep everybody happy. I don't believe it's ever accomplished. I don't believe the man that God calls into the ministry, listen to this, preachers today, the man that God calls in the ministry, we are called to preach the truth. We are called to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I don't believe that a man can preach the truth and stand for the truth and have everybody happy with him. I don't believe it happens. Luke chapter 6, Jesus told his own disciples, he said, "Woe unto you when they will all speak." Well, I can't get it right. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." I believe those that have stood for the truth, and truly, whether they're preachers or not, those that have stood for the truth down through the years of time, they have been persecuted. Jesus came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and look at what happened to him. And those down through the ages of time that have really took a stand, what did John the Baptist do when he was before Herod the king? What was it that he did? He took a stand for the truth. He just let Herod know the truth. He said, "It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And what ended up happening? Well, he had his head lopped off because of it. The truth has always There are people that have always been enemies of the truth. There have always been people that oppose the truth. Those that have really stood for the truth of God's word have not been a popular people in the world. You've got to be willing. Friends, listen, I'm telling you today, if you want to stand for the truth, you've got to be willing to take some things, because you're going to get them. You've got to be willing at times to be battered. You've got to be willing at times to be attacked, many times by people you never think would. But you've got to know that the Lord suffered in this world upholding the truth. The prophets suffered in this world when they upheld the truth. The apostles suffered in this world when they upheld the truth. The church down through the dark ages suffered because they upheld the truth. And you can be sure today that if you will really stand for the truth, that there will be people yet today that will persecute you. There were will be people that will speak all manner of evil against you. There are people that will do you wrong today if you really stand for the truth. Well, then is it worth it? I think so. Jesus thought so, so we ought to think so. I remember reading where Jesus told the people, he said, you know, if you don't eat the flesh or drink the blood of the Son of Man, you don't have any part with him. And of course, we know he wasn't talking about doing that literally. But that was a hard saying for them. The Bible says that was a hard saying for many of them. And what ultimately ended up happening, now Jesus told them the truth, you know, he told them the truth, but it was hard for them. And what ended up happening was, it says many of his disciples from that time forth, they went back and they walked with him no more. They forsook him. And Jesus, I've always, you know, thought about what it was that Jesus did there. He didn't back down one bit from what he told them. He didn't say, you know, when those people left and forsook, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, wait a minute here, let's talk about this. Maybe we can, you know, maybe we can make a compromise here. He just turned to the 12 and he said, well, will you go too? Will you also leave? We ought to stand on the truth no matter what. We ought to stand for the truth. Anybody, any person, or any church that will bear witness to the truth, that will stand for the truth. You know, I believe that's why I love to read the epistles, those little short epistles of John, 1 John, 2 John. I love to read those because you go back there and read those and you don't have any problem understanding what he was saying. He just laid the truth out in such a straightforward way. And that's how it ought to be. I'm going to tell you a story. You may get a little chuckle out of this, but I'm not trying to make you laugh. There's a great point in this. I heard a man one time, he said he was a preacher. I really didn't think he was, but he made this statement. He said, when you preach, you need to have something called diplomatic phraseology. And he gave an example. He said, you know, he said, if a young man was dating a young woman and he thought she wasn't too good looking, he said, he don't think the young man would get very far with her if he told her that her face was ugly enough to stop a clock. But he said, if he used a little diplomatic phraseology and told her every time he looked at her, time stood still, he said, you know, he might be able to get by with it. And I listened to that and I thought, you know what? I don't think preaching needs diplomatic phraseology, because the person wouldn't really understand the point, would they? I think the truth needs to just be preached. It needs to be preached the way that Jesus gave it to us is the way that it needs to be preached. And when the truth is preached, it needs to just be left right where it falls and let the truth of God do its work. The truth is important enough that Paul exhorted Timothy. He said that he was to study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we stand up to preach, we need to preach. I mean, we need to make every effort that we can to preach the truth, and it needs to go forth just like it was written. If the Lord wanted us to use big diplomatic phrases, he would have given them to us, wouldn't he? The truth. Jesus loved the truth. Jesus came willing to give his life for the truth. The apostles proved to us that they were willing to give their lives for the truth. The church, for many years, died to protect the truth. I want you to know that's what they died for. That's how they saw the precedence of truth. The truth was so important to them that that's what they died for, was the truth. They died so that we could have it. Are you willing today? Are you still willing in your heart today to be about the truth? Are you willing to stand for the truth today, no matter what it costs you? I pray that we are. I pray that we are. We may very well get put to the test. We get put to the test in many ways, but I mean here in our country, before we know it, we may really be put to the test. Are we ready to embrace the truth? Are we really ready to stand for the truth? Are we ready to grab it around the neck there and just hang on to it and say, I'm not letting go of the truth. I'm going to hang on to it whether you like me or whether you don't, no matter what you say about me or don't say about me. No matter, you know, Jesus was more willing to stay with the truth if every one of his disciples left him. He was more concerned about the truth. And I believe that's exactly what was happening when many of them turned and walked away from him. And he asked the others, are you going to go too? Because I'm not going to change what I said. I'm not going to alter the truth. I'm not going to tell you something different. If you go away, you'll have to go away. That's how important the truth was to him. And it ought to be that way to us. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And if what we have is not built on truth, then we don't have anything. So, I appreciate your attention today. Pray for me. I'll try to pray for you. And we need the Lord's help. It's a tough day that we live in. And we need the Lord's help, and we need each other's prayers. So I appreciate your attention today, and I wonder if anyone has a word anything you feel like God would have you to do or say in this service.